Well, how is everybody's happy face doing tonight? I am super excited to be preaching tonight, to have this opportunity to preach on this particular section of Scripture within Philippians. Over these last few months, it's been a neat journey. Thank you, Pastor Tonto. You're the man. I appreciate you. I value you. Over these last few months, we've had a neat journey to see how each and every pastor has broken it down. We've taken the same direction and method, but it's our style that has brought in Scripture to life. Having the understanding through the entire context of how Paul has written it, instead of just taking out a couple of verses and using it for a sermon, we're seeing how it all blends together. And one of the things is when I found out that this was happening, we had gotten the schedule, we had gotten the dates and the verses, and the very first thing that I had did is I went right instantly from the date that I had, I went to the calendar to see when is in this relationship to Thanksgiving. Because the reason I bring that up is, as being an outdoorsman, I'm a hunter, and with that, this is opening of deer season and gun deer season, and it's like, So I was looking at the situation of like, okay, who can I get to switch with me as far as the dates, you know? Because in no disrespect, I mean, for a hunter and a guy that just loves gun deer season, this to me is like Holy Week for a hunter, right? But not only that, it's in a way because this is my quiet time, the things that I just talk about in my intimacy with Jesus that I have, you know, because if I shoot a deer, praise God. If I don't see anything, praise God. But it's my quiet time that I really appreciate in that situation. So I was just looking at this, at the calendar, and I'm like, because I really enjoy this. And so who can I switch with? But then comes that still small whisper. And how many of you guys have had that where, you know, God's got a plan and that small still whisper starts coming? Well, he had says to me, this schedule wasn't put together by man, it was done by me. I have hand selected you specifically for this message for this time. Wow, right? I mean, how do you argue with that? You know, and I still kind of went to God, and I'm like, well, God, and then I took a time out, and I put a pause button. I looked at the Scripture, and then it completely changed my heart. Out of all the chapters in the Bible and all the verses, this is actually one of my favorite in the entire Bible, because this deals with the good, the bad, the ugly, and what I need to do in all situations. In everything in life, I need to rejoice. I need to give God praise. I need to go to Him in everything, in the good and in the bad. So then I was like, all right, Jesus, I get you. I see that you've hand-selected us, and you know, you have had each of us in a specific place within these chapters to deliver a certain message. So I'm hoping through this, God is going to use me in a way that I've never been used before. Every time I get to preach with the teenagers, I go to God and I ask Him to fill me in His Spirit, to give me direction and to live and work through me. And before I get into this message, I want to pray over the night to have Him speak through me, to open up my mind and my heart to everyone here to see what Paul is trying to say in this book of Philippians. I want to pray over this sermon and ask God to do some miraculous work with everybody here. So let's pray. Father God, I come before you. I give you myself tonight as your vessel. Lord, you have written this message that I haven't. You have hand-selected me here to give your word. And so, Lord, as I do it, I just ask that the continuance of the anointing, because I am prayed up. I've done my due diligence. I have done all of that. But I pray that you open up the minds and the hearts of every single person that is here within the building or watching online. God, I just pray that the calluses fall off their heart, off their ears, and off their eyes so that they can understand what this Scripture is saying, so that they can find what it means to stand firm in the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord always. I thank you for this in your precious holy name. And everybody in this room said, amen. Amen. That's it. That's all I'm getting, Pastor. I understand now. People really don't get into that stuff. But like I said earlier, I am really excited about today's message. So I hope I can deliver it in such a way that is honorable to God. Because one of the things that I should have actually added in that prayer just a second ago is that through my excitement, I tend to speak fast. So I'm gonna rest it down so that I can ease into this, right? I want to do God's due diligence in everything that I do and to deliver a message that's understandable to all, which now brings me that I'm going to jump right in the message. And the title of my message today is Rejoice in the Lord Always. I'm going to dive in this, but I want you to understand what is going on. Paul is showing that he cares for them and the people of Philippi, the church and the community around. He's informing them to stand firm, and he's going to show them in how to do it. Here's what it says in Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my dear friends. He's calling up these people to stand firm, and he's going to guide them down that path. Rejoice for all that he's done within you and in within others. Paul cares about the church and these people and the community, and he's telling them this out of love. In verse 2, we have two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, and they are in a quarrel with one another. And that's the whole thing that I'm going to be getting through and walking and talking you through this and what Paul is saying to this. Paul is pleading with these two ladies that they are doing the complete opposite with not standing firm in the Lord. They aren't rejoicing because there is tension between them. It says in verse 2, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be in the same mind of the Lord. See, they're mad and they're allowing the outside situation to commandeer their spirituality and to separate themselves from God. In a lot of us, we have a tendency of doing that. We get emotionally invested into situations in where we should have started out in prayer. You know, what we do in that is we do it with our earthly heart. We're not doing it with our spiritualness because we're just consumed by it. But how many times have you been confronted by someone and it literally took over your life? You really just got, you know, you just didn't go to prayer in that situation. There can be someone that seems to have that you have a misunderstanding with, and we need to confront it and bring it, bring peace to that situation. Some of us can go right at this quarrel and bring resolution immediately. It's better to handle this now than to go out and let the enemy stir up something inside of you, much like a virus. Because if we're not praying, if we're not confronting this, you know, it can bring a lot of tension within your life. But for some, I got to tell you, they can get two kinds of crazy. You know, the emotional warfare that you can bring to the table. Let me tell you something. As a youth pastor, I see what happens in teenagers. I can tell you about the emotional warfare and some of the things that these students can do. As for me, if somebody comes to me and they're like, you know, what do you think about this? I'll look at them and say, hey, that doesn't bother me. And I'll say, I don't care. I don't want to do anything with that. That's one of the things I'll tell with my daughters, that something is going on within their friends, or there's things going on with the students, and I'll say, who cares? Leave it alone. Back away from that, because it's only going to get you into trouble, and it's going to pull you in a place where you don't want to go. See, I'm not going to concern myself with that nonsense, because where does that find you in the end? Some people get sucked in and involved in a situation that is a friend of a friend, and these people are saying, you need to have my back. That these people will rally their friends around and plot and think about how they can destroy, sabotage, by all means necessary, to wreck that person's world. They're going all in and doing whatever it takes because that person is maybe mad. And I'm going to die before I say I'm sorry or allow that person to get the better of me. Church, can I tell you something? Emotional destruction and vindication doesn't always mean victory. Church, you hear what I'm saying? That may be something you might want to write down, that emotional destruction and vindication doesn't always mean victory. You have found freedom, but from freedom, it has a way of destroying things, right? You're looking at giving yourself freedom from the situation you're in to speak your mind. But when Paul is writing this, he is writing this to the church and to the community because he knows that these two ladies are in the audience. He's writing this letter to show them the importance of how they need to stand firm in the Lord for these two to find gentleness within their hearts. Because when you live in gentleness and standing firm in the Lord, that makes you approach things a little bit differently. It makes it visible to us as people, as the church, that we are being pure. And let me tell you, you know, we as a body, we are not going to agree on everything. We're just not. But if we look at the larger picture in mind, we can agree on more than we can disagree on. Let me back up a little bit. You know, we might have had a difference with someone, right? We might have to work it out. But one thing I want you to understand is within your individual relationships, within church, within your workplace, within your homes, within your families, within your marriages, everyone has more to agree on than they do have to disagree. There are things that you need not get involved in, especially when you know that they're going to be a social hotspot to speak about. I was talking with somebody this morning that's really big into political parties, and if you see his post all the time, you'll know who I'm talking about. But that, you know, political things is one of the things that we tell people not to touch on because, you know, it really will get your undies twisted, right? I mean, for some people, when they start talking about things of politics and religion, it really gives them a wedgie because you bring causes to your beliefs so passionately, it's like two bucks that are fighting, going at each other. You're not going to win that fight. But then on the other hand, you'll have some people that are just, I don't want to hear anything about it. But sometimes religion and politics, they say, leave that alone, leave that outside. I believe we do need to talk about Jesus, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have a job. But let's make sure you're doing this out of a way of representing Christ and not you. Because I know some people that, you know, they can feel philosophically have all the answers, and they'll go out there and they're going to say, oh, well, this scripture, that. And, you know, you're representing yourself through that scripture, but you're not representing Christ in what you do, because if you're not speaking through the Holy Spirit and you're just speaking legalistically because of what a book says, the main objective, what you're doing, isn't going to be done. If we stand firm and we are visible within our gentleness, it shows that we are being pure. If we look at a disagreement, what it can bring fear, it can bring anxiety, and it can bring depression. But if we look at it through a different lens, we can see that there are great things to agree on. You know, we don't see eye to eye on something, but let's rejoice in the Lord and give Him praise and thanksgiving, right? You know, if these two ladies would have started off with prayer and praise and thanksgiving, they wouldn't even been in this quarrel and called out in front of everybody. This is what Paul was doing. At one time, you know, before he was in jail, he was his mentor to them. And they would have been under his umbrella of ministry. And if they would have been doing something foolish, he would have said, hey, we got to do it this way. But he's not there with them. They're on their own and they're making their own decisions. And Paul is trying to tell them because he's getting word back of what these two ladies are doing. And he's like, yo, ladies, knock it off. Let's just get along. There are things we don't need to put between us, between us and Christ. There can't be that void. And if we are feuding with somebody, if we are having that issue, we're not focusing on what God has for us. We're thinking about what we can do. We need to learn to come to every situation with prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. You know, you could probably start seeing, where we're going with this, within how we come to Christ. If they would have continued to stand firm in the Lord, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And this is what puts us at verse 4 in Philippians 4:4. And he doesn't just say it once. He says it twice, so which means he's really meaning business. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, okay, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, that's what I'm saying. If you guys are rejoicing in the Lord, this place, the walls should have been shaken. He reminds them not to miss out on the opportunity and to always have prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Let's be real. If this isn't your jam, if you're not rejoicing in the Lord always, you have to really think about your spiritual walk. Because if you're allowing the world to consume you, then you have a lot of conversations that you really need to be having with God. I can assume then that the things that are holding you back from God, you probably might need to come and lay them at the altar tonight. Church, are you hearing what I'm saying in these situations? But if you're going to everything in exaltation to Him, if you are rejoicing in Him in every situation, the gentleness will be evident to all. And that's what it says in verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. When you're walking in harmony with Jesus, when you're in that state of sanctification, everybody can see it. I know in the past, when I wasn't in my spiritual place that I needed to be in, and it's a good thing that we have people around us and close that can call us out on our situations, and it could be somebody younger. And matter of fact, in one of the situations, it was my daughter. You know, she called me out and she said, "Dad, are you doing your devos? Are you living the way that you're supposed to be? Because I can see it." In church, we all get busy. And sometimes we can shelf our devos, and sometimes we get busy in the time of life, and, you know, I'll get to my praying, you know, at night before I go to bed. But are we all standing firm in the Lord? This is the same accountability that we have in our life that Paul is saying to them. When you're in the right mind and in right spirit, the gentleness of the Lord will be upon you. This is the opposite of what these two ladies are doing. There's no gentleness in their heart. And what is the opposite of gentleness in this situation? It's confrontation. It's rebellion. It's probably hatred. These two are not doing what God has called them to do. It's us finding ourselves walking in spirit at all times. Gentleness will be evident to all. And as I look around the room, I can, you know, already imagine what some of the things that people are thinking. Well, you don't know what I'm going through, what my wife has done to me, or you have no idea how I'm feeling because my dad just walked out on us. Yes, those are some of the thoughts that are going on people's heads, and maybe it's, you have no idea, I had just lost my job. Well, I look at the you guys as the church, and I said, well, praise God then. You know what? Praise God. Because God is going to open a door for you in that new workplace, because he is divinely going to be putting you in a place where it's going to be evident to all through your gentleness that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and that someone's going to need to be prayed over, and he has divinely put you there. You might not be a missionary, but can I tell you something, church? You are a missionary to your workplace. Students, you guys are campus missionaries to the schools you go to, but sometimes we feel, oh, God, you know, I'm not old enough and I can't do that, or, you know, I don't have the degrees. When God uses somebody, God is going to use them to their fullest. We can't dwell in the past. We have to look to the future. One of my students came back from youth convention with a quote from the speaker, and she said, "Our past is our history and our future is our destiny." The amazing thing is, she's 12 years old and looks to the time where God's going to bring her to the mission field to Switzerland. I know she's going to stand firm in the Lord and continue to rejoice because of how Christ has called her to be a world changer. Church, are you listening? We need to continue to rejoice in everything that we have. Do you guys remember Calvary? An innocent person was denied by his closest friends, was sold out for 30 pieces of silver, was rejected by so many. Who was this? It was Jesus. He didn't do anything wrong. Matter of fact, he was going around telling people how they can receive the true living water, and how, and he was healing the sick. He was making the lame walk. And he, like as Pastor was saying today, he was showing people that, you know, don't cast that first stone because you got a whole bunch of sin up in your life. And he went, and when he was being punished, when he was being beaten, what did he do at Calvary? He still went to the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, could have been like Iodia and Syntyche, and he could have said, forget it. Look at these people. Look at Peter. Look at Judas. Look, look, and look. He could have kept finding flaws in people and say, forget it. I'm not doing this. These people aren't getting along, and they're not even standing up for me. But instead, he went to the cross and to forgive the world of their sins. Praise God, right? Rejoice in his name always, and again I say rejoice. Stand firm and rejoice in the Lord always. That is the peace and the understanding of what Jesus is doing. Church, the day of the Lord is near, and he is coming. Are you representing Christ in that gentleness? Would he say, good and faithful student, good and faithful child, good and faithful, you know, parent, good and faithful pastor? Would he say that when that time comes? Is that on the forefront of your minds? Because when you're rejoicing in the Lord always, you're standing firm in your faith. You're standing firm in the Lord, and the only way we can get there is with the gentleness of all understanding. We get there by prayer. We get there by praise, and we get there by thanksgiving. Within your gentleness, take your burdens to prayer and take that time. These two ladies would have avoided a whole bunch if they would have just taken that time. Place everything you have to Christ. And in verse 6, Paul is telling them, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, when I see the word anxious, I also see the word anxiety. And the definition of anxiety is a feeling of worry, of nervousness, of unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Church, are you standing firm in the Lord? Because if you are, then why are you allowing the foothold of Satan to dominate your life? Because your concerns, your anxiety is God's concern. And if you go to him in prayer, praise, and petition, give it to God. Leave it there. If you have the misunderstanding with a friend, like is in Matthew 18, take it directly to your brothers and sisters. If you have a beef, start by praying on it before you go to them. Because if you're not praying, if you're not praising, if you're not giving thanksgiving, and if you're not going to God, I can only imagine what's going to come out of your mouth. In this situation here, or in Matthew, it says that, you know, go to that person, you know, go to your brother. It doesn't say go around and spread it. It doesn't say, you don't go and do that emotional warfare. I keep telling students to stop going and get involved in these things. And it's not even just students. I mean, it's with adults too, because, you know, I mean, I hear things that go on in the church, and too many people are getting involved in too many different things. You know, I really have a burden. I've had people come up to me and say, I may have to say something, I've had people come up to me and say, I've said something about you in front of others and I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? Why? Because we're in prayer and we're in praise and we're in thanksgiving. We are in unity in the Lord, and if we don't want separation from God, then we have to be in that place. One of the things I'm reminded about is one of the disciples came to Jesus and teach us how to pray. And I knew, I know they knew how to pray, and I know you guys know how to pray. But in Luke 11:12, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What is it saying there? It's saying the first thing in that scripture is that we need to go to our Father in heaven. We need to go to him and just say, "Father. Father, I need you." And secondly, it says, hallowed be thy name, praising him and rejoicing him and give him praise in everything that we do. Our God in heaven is the most amazing person to go to. You know, you have some burdens, you have some things in your life, but are you taking it to God in the appropriate way? Are you going to him and nagging? You know, Jesus shows them by going to him in praise first. You know, are you starting off your conversation with, "Daddy, I love you. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for your life." But too many times, we go to that in a different way. You know, and really, how many of you guys have kids and they've come up to you and say, oh, I need this. Oh, you need to buy me this, right? I mean, that happens all the time. But as a father of three girls, and as you can see, you know, I'm rubbing my head because I'm thinking of those, you know, because I'm stressed because of the flashbacks I'm having of some of these conversations that I've had with them. And every time I'm thinking, girls, if you would learn to come to your dad in a different way and realize you guys are daddy's girls, you would get so much further. I'm going to respond so much more differently. And if they would come up to me and say, oh, daddy, you're so handsome. You know, you look so good without hair and those highlights in your beard accent your wisdom, not your age. Right? Yo, I'm going to respond differently, right? But if you're going to God with thanksgiving, I feel he would hear you a whole lot more differently than if you were going to him as a whiny teenage girl. And by the way, my girls really aren't like that, but it just works really good as this analogy, so I just have to disclaimer there. But that's the last thing that God wants to hear is that. Think of the billions of prayer requests that he gets every second of every day. In my mind, it would be heard a whole lot faster if your prayers are genuine in your cast of love to him. And by the way, another disclaimer, this is my opinion. I'm not saying God is not listening to your prayers or he's taking one out of order. But if I am God and I'm a dad to my kids like he is to us, and my kids are coming to me and saying, thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Thank you, Daddy, for your providing you have done. I know things might be tight now, but is there any possibility you can make this happen? As a father, I got to tell you, I would definitely love that more. But who doesn't want to have praise and adoration for things? You already know that God is going to answer your prayers, and some of them might not be the way that you wanted them answered. Now, church, did you hear that? God is going to answer everything. And for some, we pray for, you know, this, or we pray for that, and the outcome has been something completely different. Your prayer was answered, and unfortunately, it wasn't the way that you wanted it. And moving into verse 7, if Euodia and Syntyche, if they would have been living in gentleness, they would have been guarding their heart and their minds within Jesus. And it says in verse 7, and the peace of God with all transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Guess what? If you guys are living in Christ, you are walking in Christ. I mean, I think about that. That's what really gets me excited. If you are living in Christ, you are walking in Christ, and everybody, and the peace of God transcends all understanding. They never would have had this disagreement in the first place because of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. When we as a church body, when we do this, we need to train ourselves to think right in every situation that we're having. These two ladies were quarreling, and they were having a fight. They would have never had this problem in the first place if they would have just learned how to think. And that's what we need to do. We need to think before we think. Does that make sense? We need to process what's going on in our brain before it goes out and try to change the world with it, right? Before we fight a battle or go into emotional warfare, you know, we need to think before we think. My wife always reminds me before I come to church, before I go to preach, remember your filter. Always. It's the accountability of my mind telling me I have to watch what I'm saying before I say it. And I'll be honest, it doesn't always work. I come to church, and matter of fact, it was just this week, I had Pastor, I share a wall with Pastor Stephanie, and we were chopping it up about something, just sarcasm and this and that. Pastor Josh was there, and she reminds me about Sister Brooks's Devo that she did just this week about watching what comes out of her mouth. And I'm like, Angie, did you speak to her about that one? But anyways, in our house, we say things like edify. It's getting better, and I'm like a country song. Just be patient. I'm a work in progress. I'm sure that that's in a lot of us, right? Church, we have to remember to think before we think. I have to remember to put a filter through it. I need to take myself outside this situation. I need to make sure that I am going to God with my prayers, with my praise, and my thanksgiving. Which brings us to verse 8, and Paul starts wrapping this up with, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In this verse, Paul is telling the church to live by this. Not to live with strong emotions, but to think. Before you go out and say something, before you go out and do something, think before you think. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Within these 9 verses, Paul is breaking down emotional intelligence. He is trying to get you to understand how you can look at this from a godly emotional standpoint. Paul is laying out the blueprint for emotional intelligence and breaking it down in this manner. He's trying to get these people to understand through the process of dealing it in prayer and thanksgiving. We as people already are emotional about things. I mean, that's just what we're made of. I mean, we're so passionate about so much. And Paul is telling in this letter to the church, and that these two women, if we would do it through prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, if we would rejoice in the Lord always, if we stand firm in Jesus Christ, the gentleness will be evident to all. Having the peace of God in your mind, in your heart. That's what these scriptures are saying. How many of you have had, scripture brand in your, how many of you guys have scripture brand in your house? It could be a plaque, it could be a picture, it could be a decal on the wall. I mean, whatever it means. I'm sure that every single person in this room probably has, as for me in my house, I'll serve the Lord. How many of you guys have that in this room? Right? Well, I got to tell you right now, for the people that did not raise their hand, either they do not have children, or they do not have teenagers, because I know that with some of the ridiculous music that some of these kids are listening to, I'm like, oh no, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, and we will serve the Lord. We ain't playing that in our house, right? And it's for all of the people that are having a hard time with understanding this. I'm sure that you can find peace within it. But in our house, we have a verse on our wall, and it's Philippians 4:4. And this is what brings me to really, what this whole thing is about. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'll be sitting on my couch, and I'll be thinking about the day. I'll look up and see that verse, and I'll be like, oh, praise God. I'll be thinking of a situation of a bad season that I'm going through, and it's like, oh, Philippians 4:4, praise God, rejoice in the Lord always. And within the last 4 or 5 years, one of the things that we used to do here at the church, we would start off the service with, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say amen. It would always, always, and I loved it. So I have this Bible verse on my wall, and much like the song, you get that jam stuck in your head, and it plays over, and it plays over, and it plays over. Well, that's what the song does for me. I see it on the wall, and it plays over and over, and that's one of my favorite verses, because I'm giving praise and adoration, and so I'll be walking around the house, and I'll be walking through the doorway of my house, and so I look up, and what do? I start singing, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And I would sing it over and over and over. And the thing that stinks is last week, Jeff preached, and he had songs within his sermon, and he actually can sing. I was like, that really stinks to follow that, because I already had this planned in my, within my lesson. And so, we have to understand that we need to continue to go to that area. praising God at all times. And it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like, right? As I lost my place, technology's wonderful. I drop my papers and then I do this. But anyways, you know, even, you know, one of the things with Jeff and even Tyler, if I had their voices, I wouldn't like talk to people. I would sing my sentences out to them. I'd say, oh, can you go get me that copy machine right now, that paper I left on there? I mean, that's what I would be like. You know, I would be giving praise regardless of how my voice sounds. I just want it always to happen. But I would sing it over and I would sing it over and I would sing it over again to the point where my kids were like, Dad, shut up. But the thing is I'm rejoicing God. I might be in a low season and that's all I can do. And I'll be in a high season and that's all I want to do, right? Paul brings this section of letter to a close with such great pastoral care. He wraps it up in these 9 verses of Philippians. Whatever you have learned or received or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put the God of peace within you. Paul is saying that the way I've lived my life might be in chains, I might be in shackles, I might be chained to a wall and living in a destitute situation in jail. And I can only imagine how nasty that situation was and the fact that he was going to death and he knew it. When it rained, it probably filled up that prison. And I can only imagine how damp that room was. I mean, it's probably wet all the time where he's probably had the worst case of athlete's foot I can imagine. But his conditions are junk. He's writing these people and saying, it's not worth what you're going on in life not to praise God. If you need to give God everything, you have to give him everything. You got to give him everything, not pieces. You know, I'm thinking of these women would have looked at this through different lenses. Paul might not be with us, but Christ is with us always. The worship team could come up now. That would be great. So if we stand firm in the Lord, and if we rejoice in the Lord always, the gentleness will be visible to everybody. It will make us think different in a different way, and anxieties and the concerns that might have overtaken us, taken over our world, will start subsiding because the power of the living God is within us. We need to put this into practice. The troubles of this world won't be with you if you stand firm in the Lord. Allow the gentleness of the Holy Spirit to commandeer your entirety. Remember to go in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, and using emotional intelligence of Jesus, and to think before you think. When you do all of these things, the peace of God will be over you. You know, I went on a journey and told you about how these two ladies were feuding. And for some of us in this church, we have relationships that are strained. We have relationships that are keeping us from having the purity of Christ within our heart and our mind. The gentleness is not there. But for some of us, we're so far away from God that we don't even know how to stand firm anymore. Father God, I come before you right now. I pray over these people. I pray over this church that they can understand what you're saying in this, and then that we need to stand firm in our faith. We need to rejoice in the Lord always. But I think for some people here, they feel that they've got nothing to praise for. They have nothing to rejoice. And the gentleness is gone within them. It's some of our people just need to think before they think, because they open their mouth and they say things and they do things, and they're in a place where they just find themselves getting in trouble because they're not doing it with a filter. Lord, I just pray that if there's people in this room right now that if they have an estranged relationship that's keeping them away from the purity of God and to transcend with all understanding, if the peace of God is not on their mind and their heart, Or if there's people here that they just need more of you. They've realized through this message that they need to start just finding themselves in a place of their devotionals, in their prayer life, because they are so far removed from God. And then some of you guys just want to rejoice. Some of you guys just need to rejoice. Some of you guys just might be in a season and you want to come up here and say, God, I am giving you everything. I'm going to praise you for what you're doing in my life. I'm going to praise you for the bad things. I'm going to praise you for the good things. Lord, I just want you to help transformate my life, but I want to come to you in praise first. Our Father who art in heaven. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up these altars. And if you found yourself in one of these places that I've been talking about tonight, if the Lord is tugging you on your heart to reconcile with Him, to reconcile with somebody in this church, and some of us just want to give God our glory. And if that's you, this altar is going to be open up. We're going to play some worship songs. Take this time just to rejoice.